Oh shit. Oh shit. Yeah. Oh shit. Oh shit. We're back, motherfuckers. Strap it up, baby. Shanta got big lips. Grab your nuts.
Put it on Tim like a porno star.
Run back the tape in the VCR. Get your roast beef sandwich. Like the big black. Hey. I wish you would have hunt me just a little. Sit you on down, baby. Now rich like silver spooner. Spooner. Just a finger. Tell the cashier that I wish you would. He better run you your money. You know what I'm saying? Feel the body hit the skin, yo. We're not playing around today. Make my little dough. I really hate that mess, but I playing team football today, baby. You know what I mean? It's real deal around here. Real deal. In the jar. Thursday, November 13th, 2025, years after our Lord Jesus Christ, baby. Strap it in, baby. Grab your balls. Let's get it going today. We got head coaches. Head coach talk. I like those songs with long instrumental intros. Cause then I could talk a little shite on them. We're live on TikTok today, and I'm kind of scared a little bit to be live on TikTok. I clicked adult only. Okay, we provide colorful football analysis on this show, but sometimes I'll talk about stabbing a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I hope I've been working hard on this goddamn TikTok account. I take a risk today. We go adult only on the TikTok stream. And if you're in here on TikTok, welcome to the inaugural In the Jar TikTok stream. We'll see if we keep it on there. Cause I've seen some stuff happen on TikTok. Let's get it going, baby. Grab them. Grab your nuts right now. Grab your nuts. Say, I'm here. I'm here, motherfuckers. Run me my money, boy.
See, you know what I'm saying?
That's what you gotta do, baby. You think your ancestors came across the goddamn pond for you to sit on your ass and scroll social media? No, baby. No, they want you to get out and rob somebody. You know what I'm saying? I don't actually mean that. I'm really starting to fear being live on TikTok. I feel like I'm going to say more wild shit because, you know. Anyway, welcome back to In the Jar, baby. We're Friendly Face Ain't Far. Now, we used to have a cigar, but now we're just a retard. You know what I'm saying? Golly. I really hope I got to keep this account safe. Oh, you know, on TikTok, whatever. Shout out to my TikTok viewers today. We got Brian Kelly in a dispute, in a court battle with LSU right now. We got some rumors about meetings going on around the LSU head coaching job. We got a lot of other rumors in the college football coaching carousel. A lot of potentially stable college coaching situations jumbled up by the thought, the idea, the aspiration of some coaches leaving their stable college head coaching jobs for an NFL gig. We've seen two firings in the NFL so far. We're bound to see a few more. I think Kevin Stefanski is spending his last season in Cleveland. A lot of questions about Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator down there in Buffalo. Maybe his time coming to an end in Buffalo. Where does Brian Daboll fit into all of this? The recently fired New York Giants, former New York Giants head coach, Brian Daboll. Where does he fit into all of this? You got a Penn State job open. You got a Florida job open. You got an LSU job open that nobody wants to touch with a 10-foot pole until this court case gets settled out. Let's talk about the Brian Kelly court case real fast. And then we'll get into some A.J. Brown drama with the Eagles. A.J. Brown's unhappy. He goes on a Twitch stream. He says, drop me. If I'm on your fantasy team, drop me. So we'll get into the brass tacks of that. I'm scrolling down my outline here, making sure I'm not missing anything. College football rankings breakdown. I know we broke it down yesterday. I got some more thoughts on it, so we'll get into that today. Patriots Jets going on tonight here in about 2 hours. We'll preview that game. I have some thoughts. Let me tell you, I got some thoughts on it that might be a little different. Michael Penix Jr. under a little Falcons controversy. I haven't heard about this until I watched a few shows this morning. We'll get into all that. Lamar Jackson, rated most overrated QB by Bleacher Report. We'll get into that as well. And much more. Baylor Athletic Director Mac Rhodes. The former, until this morning, head of the College Football Playoff Committee resigned as AD at Baylor and therefore resigns his title as the College Football Playoff Committee chair. So let's start with Brian Kelly at LSU. It has been rumored. I heard this on a show with a guy that has got some good sources that a fellow named Trace Armstrong had a Zoom meeting with LSU yesterday. This is confirmed by good sources. Who is Trace Armstrong? He's Lincoln Riley's de facto agent. The head coach of the USC Trojans, Lincoln Riley, seems to be spending his last year in LA. Now, will this stick? I don't think that Lincoln Riley is head coach material. There are a lot of guys in coaching, not just the college game, but the pro game, that belong as coordinators. Okay? Guys like Mike McDaniel, I believe, would be better suited as a coordinator. Guys like Brian Daboll. Guys like Aaron Glenn, Kevin Stefanski, Lincoln Riley, Josh McDaniel, better suited as a coordinator than a head coach. Lincoln Riley seems to be one of those guys. Now, I don't think any sane coach that's in the job market right now would touch this LSU job with a 10-foot pole until the court proceedings are handled. What are the specifics of the court proceedings at this juncture? Brian Kelly filed a lawsuit against LSU for his full $54 million buyout. LSU is claiming grounds for cause of his firing exist. Look, here's what's going to happen. Brian Kelly, he's probably got some money in his pocket to spend on some pretty good lawyers, but he's not going to be able to go toe-to-toe with the lawyers that LSU will be able to pull together. My prediction for what happens in this court case between Brian Kelly and LSU is very simple. I think they'll come to a compromise, high 20s, low 30s. That's what was reported in the days following Brian Kelly's firing, and I think that that is what is going to happen in the end. Obviously, raising a little bit of hell, trying to milk it for whatever he can, as he should. I'd be pretty pissed if in my contract it was stated I got $54 million if I got fired, and then the people who wrote the contract come back and say, well, we're going to give you 28. Well, we're going to give you 33. I'm missing out on $20 million. That's can you imagine if somebody said, oh, we're going to give you $20 million less than what we originally told you. That's $20 million. Can you imagine passing $20 million down generation to generation? If you invest that money, you get a measly 4% average annual return. How much that money would grow over 20 years, 50 years, I'd be pissed about it too. I'd be raising hell if I was Brian Kelly as well. And he's got no skin in the game anymore. It's not his problem whether the LSU football program is in good standing with the courts. It's not his problem anymore. He's got to get his bag. He's got to go stab a motherfucker for his cheddar. And so that's what he's doing. But I believe that LSU will come out the victor in this case. They will not have to pay him the full $54 million. That's just my take. But again, we mentioned this, the real problem with this court case is that no sane coach is going to touch this LSU job with a 50-foot pole until they figure this out. You're not going to host people at your house if the house is a mess. Nobody's going to want to be there. You're not going to want people there when your house is a mess. So why would LSU hire a head coach while they're handling all this court stuff? LSU is already talking to people, and they talked to Trace Armstrong, who is Lincoln Riley's money guy. Lincoln Riley, the head coach over at USC, don't think his stock is too high, and I think the fact that he's willing to talk to LSU or willing to send his representation to go talk to LSU shows you that Lincoln Riley's not too confident, in my opinion, in being the head coach at USC much longer. Now, USC's got a challenging gambit, and we'll talk about this later in the show, but I'll kind of tease it for you. There are a couple of Big Ten schools that are questioning whether they should go independent or not. USC is one of them. USC has got to travel cross-country most weeks to play conference games in the Big Ten. They've got their equipment, guys. Think about this. Look, right, the team, they're on a plane. They're fine, right? I remember back in my days as a Samford Bulldog, you know, a little FCS program, we'd have to drive 9 hours to Lexington, Virginia from Birmingham because we didn't have the bankroll. But these big programs, they've obviously got the bankroll to fly their team and their coaches, but what about the equipment guys? The equipment guys got to make the drive now. Nah? They got to drive from Southern California to New Jersey if they're playing Rutgers on the road in a Big Ten conference game. And they got to do that in a couple of days. Let me tell you, I drove one time from Lexington, Kentucky to Phoenix, Arizona when I moved out here. It was a 28-hour drive. I would never wish that trip on my worst enemy. And programs like USC in the Big Ten, which has a lot of East Coast teams, are doing this week in and week out. It's not sustainable for USC to be in the Big Ten anymore. And so we'll talk about USC potentially going independent along with one other Big Ten school is talking about this. These are all rumors. Now, with the stuff that's gone on at LSU in the last couple weeks, it's become such a disaster. It's become such a soap opera with the governor chiming in 2 weeks ago and now this court case. This was a respectable, highly sought after job. Not 3 weeks ago, or whenever Brian Kelly got fired. In the days that followed, pandemonium started. They don't have an AD right now. It is a disaster, and it's one of the premier college football programs in the land, and you don't have any sane coaching candidate other than Lincoln Riley's representation even touching the thought of this LSU head coaching job with a 10-foot pole. I think it speaks to Lincoln Riley's stock as a head coaching candidate, that he's having his people already talking to LSU. He's thinking he could get a fast one in there, try and hit while the price is low on this LSU job, because I think Lincoln Riley knows that his stock as a head coach is pretty low. He probably belongs as an offensive coordinator somewhere. Let's just be as real as we can on this show here on November 13th, 2025, right? So, Secondary coaching news here. Eli Drinkwitz being targeted by other schools. I'm looking at Eli Drinkwitz out of Missouri for that Penn State job that's open. Matt Rhule was the number one candidate for that Penn State job. Signs an extension with Nebraska. This was weeks ago. And then yesterday, news came out that Louisville is in talks with extending Jeff Brohm, their head coach over there, who's doing a fabulous job with the Louisville Cardinals football program. He was another candidate that was being thrown around for a lot of these big jobs. And I think what you're going to see, at least in the unexpected fashion of head coaching searches, is you're going to see head coaches in college football in stable situations leaving for NFL head coaching jobs. Why would Ryan Day not go and interview for the Cleveland Browns job if that came open, if Stefanski gets fired, like I think he will? Why would Ryan Day not go interview for that Cleveland Ohio Browns head coaching job and try to draft some of his guys from Ohio State like Jeremiah Smith? Why would he not look for a job like that? So I think you're going to see, at least after the college football season, you're going to see a lot of head coaching jobs come open that we didn't expect to come open, stable situations. Lane Kiffin over at Ole Miss looks like their AD is demanding that he commit now or walk away, and that Lane can't keep stringing them along. That makes total sense. And I don't think Lane Kiffin's going to leave Ole Miss. I really do not. Even if an NFL head coaching job came up for Lane that was attractive, I don't know if Lane Kiffin wasn't scarred by his tenure with the Oakland Raiders back when he was a younger cat. But then again, I'm gonna go. Let me turn my light on here. I just realized I was off. That might help the program a little bit there. But anyways, Lane Kiffin. If the college game was the same as it was 5-10 years ago, I think you say there's no chance Lane Kiffin leaves college football for the NFL. But now that college football is basically becoming NFL junior, and this is really the macro narrative that I just kind of stated with Ryan Day, a lot of these other coaches in otherwise stable situations, why would they not leave college football if an NFL job came open? It's basically the same thing at this point. Why would they not leave? So would Lane Kiffin leave Ole Miss for an NFL head coaching job? I'm not quite sure. It depends, obviously, on how many NFL head coaching jobs come open in the offseason. Right? You got Tennessee and New York already open. There's only been two firings in the NFL this year. You're probably going to have Cleveland come open. You might have Miami come open. You might have, I doubt, it seems like just writing on the wall, vibe check, that New York Jets are going to give Aaron Glenn another season to figure this out. But I feel like if they don't have success next year, Aaron Glenn will be gone. So we're looking at four job openings right now. I think that Buffalo Bills OC job is going to come open. Brian Daboll, probably a prime candidate for that, because he's not going to be a hot head coaching candidate. You're only a hot candidate in coaching if you leave your situation on your own terms. If you don't leave your situation on your own terms, which is the more common outcome for most guys, your stock inevitably is going to go down. Right. So we mentioned Brian Daboll. Spotted in a Penn State hoodie. Doesn't confirm he's going there, but signals. Could he go and take the head coaching job at Penn State? You look at a head coach like Brian Daboll, who gets fired from the NFL as a head coach. His stock is obviously low. He did not leave New York on his own terms. Does a guy in his position go and take a powerful college head coaching job? That could be really interesting to see. He spent a lot of time at Alabama under Saban. College football, like I said, and the NFL are pretty much interchangeable at this point. There's really no difference to me whether you're coaching one or the other. It's really just stature and money at the end of the day. You know, you head coach in the NFL, you're obviously going to make a bit more cheddar than if you're a head coach in college football, but maybe not always. I mean, head coach in the NFL, yeah, you're definitely going to make more cheddar than any college football head coaching job. But you still make good money as a college football coach. You got a lot of power. But these kids, they got a lot more power these days, too. We got Baylor AD. He was the college football playoff committee chair. His name's Mac Rhodes. And today he resigned from Baylor as the athletic director and subsequently had to relinquish his title as the chair of the college football playoff committee. If you are on the college football playoff committee, you must be a standing athletic director, according to what I've read, at a FBS institution. And we're finding out more about this as this story unfolds. But in order to, there's a board of folks that pick ADs to be on the college football playoff committee. And that board is comprised of FBS commissioners, so conference commissioners. So we are shedding more light as to the structure of how our college football playoff is picked. So I'm glad we're getting more clarity on that. But what happened with Mac Rhodes? Why did he resign so abruptly as AD of Baylor? So there's allegations. There was a September football game where Baylor was playing. I can't remember who they were playing, but I believe it was in September. And there was a guy. There is a guy that plays for Baylor. He's an Ole Miss transfer. His name is Michael Trigg, I believe. T-R-I-G-G. And he was wearing a bright yellow long-sleeved undershirt under his uniform, under his shoulder pads. This was unlike the outfit of any other teammate of his that day. And apparently, the then Baylor AD, Mac Rhodes, was not very happy about this gentleman's undershirt choice, his bright yellow undershirt, and he confronted him. Mac Rhodes confronted this player. So the AD confronts a player, a football player, on the sideline, and apparently was physical with him, was cussing at him. He grabbed him by the shirt or by the jersey or whatever and said, "Why the fuck are you wearing that?" or something. And a lot of coaches didn't take very kindly to it on Baylor's staff. They confronted the AD, and apparently it's been downhill ever since. My outline has some other details on it. It says Baylor had horrible sexual assault and misconduct issues under Art Briles. I remember that name. R-word cases, assault case, so people saying R-E-T-A-R-D, retard. Assault cases on campus. Briles, Art Briles, ended up in high school coaching, it says here, and now Rhodes is stepping down. This suggests serious institutional problems that are continuing. Baylor already had reputation issues. If the AD is stepping down mid-season, the allegations to me must go much deeper than grabbing a football player by the jersey and cussing him out. It must go a lot deeper than that. It's very interesting. And the hot take tangent for that one is how many more stories are coming out about Baylor? I don't know. Some programs can't get clean no matter who they hire. That's true. You know, so a lot of issues unfolding structurally in college football specifically, it seems. A lot of folks in up high at these institutions are probably scrambling, trying to figure out how to run a ship when things have changed so much, so fast in college athletics. And I don't know how you fix it other than getting this in front of Congress and making it a priority. A lot of people didn't like how the governor of Louisiana came out and spoke on the LSU football program, but I liked it. Because if we can get politicians in states where college football is so important, like Louisiana, then maybe we can get some stuff in front of Congress finally so that we can put guardrails on this thing and protect what we love in college football. It's very important. College football is the cultural, we talked about this. College football is the cultural fabric of some of these towns. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Oxford, Mississippi, Columbia, Missouri, Columbia, South Carolina, Lexington, Kentucky, Gainesville, Florida, Athens, Georgia, Knoxville, Tennessee. College football is the fabric of these towns. And it's to a non-football guy, to a non-gritty football guy, it sounds pretty crazy. But the well-being of your local football program in these towns is really the well-being of the people is dependent on it in that community. Look at Alabama and the success they had with Saban. Look how it benefited the university. Look how it benefited the town of Tuscaloosa. It all stems in these places from the college football program. The athletic program and therefore the football program. Because let's be real. You know, football is the sport that brings in attention and money in college athletics. Football is the window in the public eye to these universities. It's very important. And if we don't get these issues in front of Congress and make them make it a priority, now I know the opposite of progress is Congress. All the, you know, I feel like Congress is just the throwaway people in society, the guys that like nobody really liked other than a few. And they don't have any real talents, so they just go into politics. That's how I see them, at least. But it makes sense why Congress wouldn't be prioritizing college football, because it's important. And if it's important, Congress is not going to make any moves on it, because that's just the system we live in, baby boy. That's all it is. Interesting. Hot take on here, you know, and if you guys are new to the stream, welcome. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. If you're watching on TikTok, follow me. I post daily clips. And on the YouTube, we got Madden streams. TikTok also Madden streams. You can access us on any audio platform, but let's keep the main thing the main thing. If you don't hit that subscribe button, don't let your ass hit the door on the way out. You know what I'm saying? So bare minimum, like this thing for me. We really appreciate that. And if you don't want to like it, then don't let your ass hit the dough. You know what I'm saying? Lincoln Riley leaving USC for another, basically another version of L.A., Los Angeles to Louisiana. Is that a dumpster fire? Is he actually leaving or just moving chaos? That's a stupid question. Brian Kelly says here, I have this little AI outline I put together. I take content from other shows and I distill it into the AI, and it gives me, if you guys are new to the program, I get hot takes and tangent triggers to talk about on each of these issues that we're covering on the show. And so sometimes I agree with the hot take and there's nothing to say. Sometimes it's just right and you get a nice trigger to a tangent or a hot take. And then other times it's just straight blasphemous and I have to condemn it in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're doing. When I say hot takes, tangents, that's what we're doing. And so here it's asking, does Brian Kelly setting precedent with lawsuit actually help future coaches demand full buyouts? Well, of course, but what's going to happen is LSU's lawyers are going to be more powerful than Brian Kelly's lawyers. And so LSU is going to get the longer end of this stick, and there's not really going to be much of a precedent left for cases like for cases like this, excuse me, because LSU is going to come out on top. Welcome to the chat, IJS66. I'm not going to read that devil number, okay? He asked, what is going on here? My brother, this is a college and professional football show. Daily, live, Monday through Friday, around 6-ish Eastern. We talk about current football happenings and put our own spin on it, or our own schizophrenic spin on things. Make sure you follow if you're watching on TikTok. Make sure you subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. A lot of show promo today. We got to take a second. Got to take a second for station identification, as the old AM talk show radio host would go. Michigan State sanctions, don't care. Uniform controversy. We see these kickers wearing their football pants high up on their thighs, and it looks pretty gay. A lot of people are talking about that. Florida D lineman doing this. It's a uniform issue. Kirk Herbstreit even called it out on a live broadcast saying, what the hell are we wearing? I agree. And I think it's yet another indicator, these high-ass pants. what did IJS say? Oh, my God. Too brutal for a woman. Have fun, boys. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, shit. Sometimes I'll be on Hinge or whatever on these dating apps talking to, you know, trying to pull some kind of semblance of a hope for a wife together for myself. And I'll be talking to these women, and they'll be like, oh, you have a podcast? What is it? Can you send me the link to your channel? And I'll be like, bitch, you don't want to watch this shit. My audience is 97% male. You know what I'm saying? For a good goddamn reason. But yeah, with the pants, I don't have much more on the damn football pants. These kickers are wearing it up to their thighs. There's no knee pads. You saw a Florida D lineman wearing it as well. It just shows that power has switched over to the hands of the players in a toxic fashion. I'm all about empowering players. I'm all about giving players the tools they need to succeed. I'm all about lifting up players. I'm all about getting players paid, etc., etc. Whoop-de-woo, whoop-de-woo. That's coming from a former player, right? But in college football today, too much power has been given to the players. There's not enough respect for coaches anymore. There's not enough respect for program culture anymore. And I know that's a big buzzword, but it's a very real thing. There's not enough respect anymore, because if a kid faces any hard times, if a kid faces any adversity, if a kid gets chewed out, if he gets cussed out, if he gets his face mask grabbed, if he gets benched, guess what's going to happen if he's a head case? And a lot of these young cats, unfortunately, seem to be head cases. The TikTok brain has leaked into the mainstream. The TikTok brain. I saw a YouTube video today. I need to watch it. I added it to my watch later. But it was talking about what short form content does to the brain, jumbling around from topic to topic in short format. And it's funny, this is the first stream. This is the first podcast we're doing on TikTok, and we're talking about the harms of short form content. But I think it's affecting the brains of young people. And I definitely think the internet has something to do with this culture shift in college football. Now, the players have obviously gotten too much power in their hands, and an indicator of this is that they feel like they can wear their football pants however the hell they want. It's called a uniform for a reason. You're supposed to be on a team. You're supposed to not necessarily blend in with your teammates, but you're not supposed to be wearing something or doing something that makes you stick out as if you're an individual above the rest of the team. That's probably why the AD, former AD at Baylor, Mac Rhodes, got pissed at Michael Trigg that one day when he was wearing that bright yellow undershirt that looked different than everybody else on the team. So you've got players that are making a lot of money. They got clout online. They ball out a Saturday here and there, and all of a sudden, I am bigger than the team. That is the most toxic, cancerous, debilitating attitude that a player can have participating on a football team, bar none. If I am above the team, then I will spread cancer throughout the team, and the team will be diminished, if not completely destroyed, if a leader of a team chooses to operate that way. And I think these pants, these high football pants you see kickers wearing, kicker for Oklahoma, is just a symptom of players having too much power, players maybe not having respect for the culture that their head coaches set forth. It's that simple. It says here on my outline, the problem, players can make 50-plus yard field goals, so they're getting a pass on uniform standards. Coaching staff allowing it is equally guilty, creates unfair advantage because you're untackleable in those areas, and it's a safety issue. This is not football anymore. It's entertainment. Look, football's always been entertainment. Let's call a spade a spade. This game generates so much revenue year in, year out in college and professional because it is entertainment. It's entertaining to see the best athletes in the world compete against each other. It's entertaining to get a finite result at the end of a 2 or 3 hour game. It's entertaining to see a sport like football be a microcosm of life as we know it, except in life, you don't get certain outcomes all the time. You don't get finite outcomes all the time. You don't get a final score all the time. But in football, you do. And that's entertaining. That sense of closure is comforting to us. It's in our nature as humans. So if I'm a defensive coordinator, or if I'm an offense, you know, it was said that a defensive lineman for Florida was wearing his pants real high above the knees as well. If I'm an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and I see a guy on the other side of the ball with his pants up high and no knee pads, am I telling my guys to gun for that? Am I telling my guys to put the top of their hat on that knee and make him pay? Might teach a valuable lesson. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, I'm so invincible. I made a couple tackles last week, so because I'm such a big boy and I make big bucks, I'm going to wear my pants real high because it looks different and I want to stand out. Okay. Don't get mad if somebody buries the crown of their helmet into that unprotected knee, bud. You know what I'm saying? That shit is crazy. That shit is absolutely crazy. And it goes to show that coaches are losing power by the day in college football. There's no question. The pants are a symptom of a bigger problem. It says here, we've gone so soft that we're allowing players to dress like they're at the beach. At what point does the NCAA step in and say, you must wear full protection? They won't, because they have no power. The NCAA has lost all the power they have. I don't even know how they're still the governing body over this shit anymore in college football and beyond. I don't get it. And I think you're seeing a lot more symptoms of what we're talking about in football particularly. It's the ultimate team game is football, but also it generates the most money and it therefore has the most spotlight on it. But I'm not sure if I'm seeing the effects of college. I'm not sure if I'm seeing the changes I'm seeing in college football in other sports like basketball. I was watching college basketball game the other night. Kentucky was playing Louisville. You know, I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, so that Kentucky-Louisville basketball rivalry has always been a big deal to me. And Louisville beat Kentucky, and I watched the highlights of it, and it looked like it was a high-quality, fun game with an energetic crowd. I don't know if college basketball's changed as much as college football. It has to have, but maybe I just haven't seen it up close enough. What up, Wyatt? Shout out to Wyatt. Wyatt Browning in the chat. Fan of the show. New fan of the show. Enjoy having him here. Okay, Here's another half of the title for you. You know, I always feel bad if I title a episode something and we don't talk about it enough. So always got to point that out. AJ Brown went on a Twitch stream a couple nights ago. Some big Twitch streamer, I guess, was playing AJ Brown in Madden. And AJ Brown said on the stream while playing Madden, if I'm on your fantasy team, you need to drop me. Some people are saying that AJ Brown is the problem. Other people are saying that AJ Brown has a point. Now, could he be going about it more tactfully than he is? Outside looking in, probably. But who knows what kind of closed-door conversations A.J. Brown has brought to the table in that Philadelphia Eagles facility. I'd imagine he's spoken his mind behind closed doors, because he definitely, if somebody speaks their mind in public, I would hope that they're speaking their mind even more so behind closed doors. If you're not speaking your mind behind closed doors and you're not bringing these issues to the exact people that are causing them or the people that could fix them, and you're just going to the public and you're just going to the press blowing hot air, then you're behaving like a woman. Let's call a buck a buck. There's no place for female behavior in a masculine sport like professional football. I'm not saying AJ Brown's behaving that way, but I'm saying that he better have aired out these grievances behind closed doors before he goes on a Twitch stream and says, if I'm on your fantasy team, drop me. This could be one of two things. Number one, he's aired his concerns, AJ Brown, behind closed doors, and nothing's been done to fix it. And so he's saying, let me proceed to air this out publicly, and then maybe you'll fix it. I would respect that. But if he's not saying anything in these closed door rooms with people that could fix these problems, and then he's just going straight to the media to talk about it, that is female behavior. And I condemn that, at least in a football context. The thing about it is that even football aside, we can't have fellas behaving like females out here. It's not natural. You know, I've had old friends that behave like females, and they're not friends anymore, because if I wanted constant drama in my life, if I constantly wanted to play games and gossip and not handle issues person to person with the person that could fix the issues or help you fix the issues, if we want to play games and spread gossip, like, I better be getting some pussy from you. That's the only justifiable cost for having that behavior in my life. And I've had friends that are no longer friends, male fellas that I don't fornicate with, try and bring drama into my life, and it just feels wrong. It's not natural. Be a man. If you have an issue, go to the person that's causing and or can fix the issue and address it. I'm not saying AJ Brown isn't doing that. I have no idea if AJ Brown's doing that, and I never will know for a fact unless something big comes out in the offseason or something, whether AJ Brown is having these conversations with Eagles management, with Eagles coaching staff or not. I would assume that he is, and they're just not fixing anything. And so he feels like he's got to go and air it out publicly. Wyatt Browning, I remember you, brother. Now, here's where I fall on it. The Eagles had the same personnel last year. They arguably topple a dynasty in Kansas City resoundingly in the Super Bowl. And now you see arguably the most dysfunctional winning organization in football in the Philadelphia Eagles right now. I could see A.J. Brown being frustrated with the state of this offense based on what they were able to do last year and based on the fact that they returned everybody from that team last year. I could see how he'd be frustrated. Look, I don't think Jalen Hurts is good. Let's call it a buck, man. Pray to God he never sees this. Because if I met Jalen Hurts, I'd be like, great to meet you. I don't want to be a little fake little bitch, you know what I'm saying? But look, let's call it a spade a spade. Is Jalen Hurts in a top 10 quarterback in the league even? I don't think so. But you have to play devil's advocate and admit that Jalen Hurts has gotten it done in big moments. He does have some semblance of an X factor. That's my positive note about Jalen Hurts. Do I think he can push the ball downfield? No. Do I think he makes the best reads all the time? No. Do I think he covers up inefficiencies in his game with his legs? Yes, but that's part of the game. So maybe that's not a fair jab at Jalen Hurts. But I don't think he's running this offense this year in a way that is optimal based on the personnel that they have in Philly. I just don't. The production of this offense has been disappointing. And I don't know if A.J. Brown got invited to some Bible study that Jalen Hurts was having and he didn't go, and now Jalen Hurts is pissed at him and he's not throwing him the ball. But they got to find a way to get their playmakers the ball. I was reading a book over here written by offensive guru Bobby Petrino, interim head coach at Arkansas right now. There's a good juice book that Bobby Petrino wrote about his philosophy, and his philosophy on offense I agree with. It's called, he says that their philosophy offensively is feed the studs. I think that should be a universal offensive philosophy. If you're not feeding your studs, if you're not feeding your best players offensively, if you're not getting them the ball, giving them the chance to make plays to impact the game, what are you doing? Nick Saban talks about this. He talks about when he was coaching in high school years and years ago, and he was offensive coordinator, and the head coach gave him play calling duties, and there was a big play late in the game, and Saban looked to his head coach and said, "What do you think I should call?" And the head coach looked at Saban. This was a young Nick Saban back, I guess, when he was coaching high school kids. And the head coach looks at the young Nick Saban and says, "It doesn't matter what play you call as long as you get it in Jimmy's hands." Or whoever their best playmaker on offense was. A.J. Brown is your best playmaker on offense in Philadelphia. Why not just line him up at a running back and hand it to him? Get him a jet sweep. Get him something. You know? It's like, dude, if you're in a relationship and you're not getting no play from your lady, at least get a little jerk under the table from her or something. You know what I'm saying? Golly, feed him on a jet sweep, hand him the ball, something. You know what I mean? So we address the acting like a female antics and stuff. We're already at 50 minutes. We are humming down the road here. I've got even more, but I'm not sure I'm going to have time. I wanted to do a Madden stream today after the pod, but we might be running too tight on time. College football playoff rankings. We covered that yesterday, so we'll get over the hump there. Look, this Patriots-Jets game going down here in about an hour. It's a big spread, about a 13.5-point spread. New York has the underdog status against New England. Obviously, New England Patriots humming. Who wouldn't have thought that Mike Vrabel was the perfect fit for New England? It certainly wasn't me. You could go back months on this show. You could go back to the episodes from March on this show or whenever Mike Vrabel was hired in New England, and you will hear us saying how great of a fit it was. And we, among other folks, have been right about that. But if you look at it from a gambling perspective, I don't condone gambling. In fact, I don't place bets because I think it's a losing game. But it is fun to talk about. It is fun to see how Vegas looks at these contests and how it reflects public sentiment. New York Jets, 13.5-point underdogs. Listen, it's a division game. It's in New England. Jets are struggling, but they have shown life the last couple weeks. Justin Fields was absolutely terrible. It gets more and more embarrassing by the week that Justin Fields hung 500 yards of offense on my Cincinnati Bengals defense. Gets more embarrassing by the week. Travion Henderson's coming on. Aaron Glenn seems to have some defensive buy-in despite their bad record. And the Patriots have struggled with second-half offense. It's been a pattern all season. So the Patriots is 13.5-point favorites. I don't know if I could if I had placed a bet, let's say, yesterday on this game. I don't know if I could have laid my head down and slept well at night if I had taken the Jets to cover in this game. But my God, have division games been closer than we thought. On Thursday night last week, you had Denver only beat 8-2 Denver only beat their division peer, the Raiders, by 3 points. I think the spread in that game was like 9 or 9.5. So if I had to make a pick to make some folks a little bit of cheddar, this is not financial advice, but if I had to make a pick to make some folks some cheddar based on public money betting records this football season, it's come back a little bit, but early in the year, if you went against public money, you won. It's coming back, like I said, but division game, big spread. I would not be a bit shocked if the New York Jets covered the spread, and that would be the bet that I would take. I'm thinking about it. I am thinking about it. This game starts here in about an hour. I am thinking about it, but I'm going to feel I would feel real stupid. It would have been hard for me to sleep last night if I had taken the Jets to cover, because there's no sensible logic behind it. It's a bit of sensible logic looking at against the spread records with public money. I'm sure the majority of public money is on New England. So there's that. That's the most logical aspect of this argument for me. The other aspect of it is that it's a division game. These two organizations know each other very well. And it just seems in pro football that division games are just different. And they're closer a lot of the time than they should be. So if I'm right, I'm going to come on the show tomorrow dancing, whether I made money or not, if the Jets cover this 13.5-point spread. I'm going to be like, I told you so, motherfucker. I told you, baby. You know, but that's my take on it. You know, Stephon Diggs is producing everywhere. I mean, if he eats, it's going to be really tough for the Jets. And if the Jets' offense looks the way they've looked the last couple of weeks, it's going to be really tough for them. The only time this Jets' offense had any life has been against the Browns and the Bengals. Tough look for the AFC North. Okay. I think we're going to cut it there, man. Bleacher Report came out with some sort of like ridiculous bogus rankings, and they said Lamar Jackson was the most overrated quarterback. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's really, really stupid. Outlet like Bleacher Report, they got to generate clicks. They got to make some takes that get people, what's the word? They got to stir the pot. You know what I mean? So it's just a ridiculous take. Two MVPs, like they're saying his two MVPs were borderline fraudulent. This is from Bleacher Report. Absolutely blasphemous. Blasphemous, bro. You know, and they say his credentials don't measure up to other legends. Get the fuck out of here. You don't just win MVP without earning it, bro. You don't. It is a quarterback award. I will say that. It is a quarterback award. But Lamar has changed the game maybe more than any active quarterback in the league right now. I think his cultural impact on the NFL in terms of how people game plan for quarterbacks, in terms of what people measure as metrics, looking at quarterback prospects coming up now, I think Lamar has changed that. Because he was overlooked as a draft prospect, even with the impact that Michael Vick had on the sport as a as a dual threat African-American quarterback in the early 2000s. I think Lamar's changed the game. Yeah, he doesn't have any rings, but are we just going to say that any quarterback without rings is now overrated in this generation? There's only a couple of them that have rings. Jalen Hurts is one of them, and I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks from that generation. If you're talking about the top quarterbacks in the league, Justin Herbert, you could argue he's overrated in that argument. Dak Prescott, easily more overrated. Easily. The pieces he's had around him in Dallas and the money he gets paid, you're telling me that Lamar is the most overrated quarterback in the league? Get the fuck out of here. Excuse me. But golly. It seems like I saw that Bleacher Report got mad because Lamar like didn't give them media access or something. That would make total sense. You know. But that's the show today. We're going to leave you guys with that. I don't think I'm going to have time for a Madden stream today. So we'll try and jump on there as soon as we can. Those are a lot of fun, and we seem to get a lot of activity, a lot of people from the audience tuning into those Madden streams. So I'm sorry we haven't been able to get more of those off lately. It's just been busy in the best way for me recently. So obviously nothing changed with the show. We are live Monday through Friday, 6-ish Eastern on Twitch, on Kick, on YouTube, and we'll see how the TikTok goes, how the live stream and the show on the TikTok goes. I don't want to get in any trouble. I know we're a little colorful at times, so I don't want to get in any trouble with TikTok. I love interacting with people on there, talking about ball, posted daily clips. So if you're watching on TikTok, follow me on there. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And if you don't let your ass hit the door on the way out. Okay. We update this podcast on every audio platform you can think of, big or small, on a daily basis. So if you want to make your girlfriend listen and learn about football on the way to your next date in the car, hit us up on Spotify, rate our podcast on there, follow it, all that good stuff. Wherever you get your podcast, we're just lucky to have you guys listening. We are the fastest growing football show in the land, soon to be the biggest football show in the land. Football, consciousness, controversy, it's all here, baby. So we love you guys. And with that, what kind of tunes should I send you guys out with, huh? What kind of tunes should I send you out with, huh? I don't use this sound enough. You know, because I got the LSU neck champ, but then I found this song. We opened the show with this. Let's close it with this. Oh, shit. Grab that black set of nuts and let's go get some motherfucking shit, baby. You know what I'm saying?
This is Spencer. You guys with me? Shanta got big lips and handlebar. Put it on Tim like a porno star. Run back the tape in the VCR.
I'm coming, baby, like
with the big black.
I wish you would have hunt me just a little sooner. Now rich like silver spooner. Now just a finger, now I got your moon.
Closing.
I wish you would have did that 2 years ago. The body hit the skin,
I love this song so much. I found it today. No, last night. All right, I'm actually out for real. I love y'all. Subscribe, motherfucker. Thick thighs, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Subscribe, though, for real. We're the fastest growing shit on this planet Earth. Realest show, baby. Realest on planet Earth. I stole that from somebody, but we are the realest.
This is what it is. Love y'all.